Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth
drama.
And welcome to Smooth Drama on a Tuesday night. You're here with Tuesday night. You're here with Butter Pecan
and Dick Hugger.
So we had a little schedule change. We're gonna have Alvy back on the show tonight. But the good thing is we have a show in Jersey. So anybody out there in Jersey area, you know, try and find. I don't know where the show is at, but Alvy back. We'll be back on Tuesday night, so we'll be interviewing him, and we'll be premiering a new video that he has coming out. But tonight we have a mystery guest. You guys will all have to stay tuned to see who we're talking to this evening.
Yeah, and if you want to holler at us, you can, of course, hit us up at
646-929-2037. Was that a damn text?
No. Or you can email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Yeah, you trying to test me? Okay, does she know the number? Because put me on a spot like that? Yeah. Or you can, you know, stay up to date by texting the word smooth drama, one word, to the number 41411. And if you like the theme song, you can get it as a ringtone by texting the word, what is it? Smooth Drama 1.
Wow.
Smooth Drama 1?
Yeah.
To 33563. It's been a while since we've announced that, so. I'm losing it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
There you go. Hello, y'all. So anyway, what do you want to start off with?
Well, speaking of, I'll be back. You know, we finally got a budget here in California.
Yes, but did you hear they got a cut back on health care and education?
Yeah.
Oh, but they're going to pay it back. And the IOUs are
stopping. That ain't even nothing. $6 billion from the schools, you know, your kids' schools, all the way up in community. I said it wrong. I'm sorry, I apologize. Not $6 million. $6 billion.
That's a B.
From your school, kindergarten through 12th grade, along with your community colleges.
They're taking that money away.
$6 billion.
So
So
does that mean tuition's gonna go up on colleges?
Community colleges, I'm going to assume, yes,
yeah.
Because that money's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, they didn't leave the state universities out. They hit them for $3 billion.
Mm-hmm. How much?
$3 billion.
What about health care?
Oh, well, $1.3 billion from Medi-Cal. Also, they were trying to be fair, so they cut $124 million from Healthy Families, which is a program that provides health insurance for low-income children, as well as $226 million from the State in Support Services Program for the frail and disabled.
So they cut it.
Cut it. And $528 million.
And
CalWORKs, you know, that state welfare to work reform program.
And
now I kind of agree with that because they're saying that part of it is because they want to make people meet the work requirements. But at the same time, it's like there's some transition. I mean, something's got to happen.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It's really, really sad.
Really, really sad.
And that's not counting. You know, they also plan on borrowing $2 million from the local government's property tax revenue.
What?
Yep. And on top of that, they plan on getting $1 billion. You get that? $1 billion. From the redevelopment money from local government. So we can't fix your roads. We can't build nothing. You know how, you know, we have that money that's earmarked where we're supposed to fix stuff?
We're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to happen now. That $1 billion is going, they're going to borrow it and pay it back. As, you know, it's like a crackhead. You know, it's like, yo, homie, I'm going to borrow this microwave. I'm going to bring it right back. You just wait for me.
Unbelievable. They're cutting all of that out.
Oh, and $1 billion more from the transportation funding from local government. So we're not fixing the trolley either.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's what our governor, that guy that people were doing what do you call them, the petitions for? You know, how I always keep bringing it up. You know what? From here on, what we want the listeners to do, people who read my blogs on Facebook, MySpace, send us in if you're disenchanted with our governor like we are. Send us an email at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You can send it to either dick@smoothdrama.com or butter@smoothdrama.com or just smoothdrama.com. We want it. No, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
And what? Well, you can go to the website and, you know.
Right. But I just, you know, I think it's time that we say something to these dudes, and especially this guy. You know,
because
there was a groundswell of support a few years back for this guy, people, petitions, whatnot, to get rid of Gray Davis. Now, we said it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Was Gray Davis that bad? Really?
Yeah, who's that, is it the Sacramento mayor who's talking about running for governor?
Shit, anybody. Can I import my Uncle Larry from New Orleans?
Shut up.
I'm just saying. You know.
You want to import your Uncle Larry from New Orleans?
Somebody. Because, look.
Oh, wow.
What we got happening is not happening. You know, what was the money from the, what do you call it, the gambling thing? I mean, we got the money from the Indians. We don't know where that went. The casinos. Also, the lotto money.
Uh-huh.
Remember the lotto money that was supposed to go to the schools, whatnot? All these propositions that have been voted on?
Mm.
That money has just disappeared into
a
big old dust pile.
Dust pile.
Yeah, I guess it landed on the beach, whatnot.
So, they said the money from the lotteries are supposed to go to education, correct?
Yeah, part of it, yeah.
So, should we encourage people to play the lottery to get more money back into the education system?
Well, hell, I don't see nothing. All I see is cuts.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that lotto money is going somewhere, but it's not going where it was intended to go.
Right. That's shady.
Yeah, I'm like, we have turned California into, like, Arkansas.
What do you mean, Arkansas?
It's just terrible.
Terrible!
You know, I mean, they're firing teachers left and right. I mean, they're going to retain $1.3 billion by keeping the state workers, the 3 days, that they have to take per month off, unpaid, non-negotiable.
Oh.
Yeah,
really?
They're still doing that.
Still?
Yeah, that's part of the budget.
Well, hold on a second. They were telling people to do this until the budget was passed. And now they're saying, okay, the budget's passed. You still have to continue doing this?
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Arnold, you a sucker.
Yeah, that's Arnold putting it in you slow.
You a suck.
Slow and easy.
But
with no Vaseline. No lube, nothing.
Well, some people don't need that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it's rape. Straight up Arnold raping folks.
Schwarzenegger.
That's terrible.
Wow.
So you promised me something, and then all of a sudden, now, it's just out the door, it's just part of the budget now.
Unbelievable.
We don't say by screwing you guys over, you made a sacrifice that we're not making.
Right. Right.
But you're making the sacrifice for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnold.
Yeah, y'all give Arnold a tongue kiss statement.
Yeah, and if you have a comment on that, you know, the California budget, please give us a call at
646-929-2037.
We want to hear from y'all, you know, in some comments. You can blog us, send us an email, call us, something. We want to hear from you because, you know, y'all have a voice, and we want to hear what you guys are thinking because this is just straight up wrong.
And I know y'all feel the same way I feel.
Especially if you're in California. It's wrong.
I mean, it's not really affecting the other state yet, per se, but still.
But still, it's wrong.
Awful.
Wrong. Yeah. Wrong.
Speaking of wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard here in San Diego, La Jolla, to be exact, what they plan on doing to the seals.
Now what?
Well, because some selfish bastards in La Jolla don't want the seals on the beach anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to have a guy who's going to walk up and down the beach with a siren that sounds like a dog barking.
What?
Right. To keep the seals off the beach. Then they're hiring an extra 10 to 12 police officers to protect said individual. And to make it even worse, guess who is paying for it? Up to an estimated $640,000
to
$680,000.
Taxpayers.
Yeah.
Hi. But you want to cut all this shit.
Well, this has nothing to do with the budget.
I know, but still.
This is local-ass selfish folks who don't want seals, who actually, they hang out at beaches. You know, I know y'all biblical. I know y'all biblical. Man has dominion over the earth and all this other stuff. But seals, they hang on the beach. And they get in the water. That's what they do. They've been doing that since the dawn of time.
And you want to kick them off the beach.
You want to kick their ass off the beach. So that,
and pay 600 and something.
Yeah, over $600,000 to protect the mother, well, the guy who's going to have the siren.
Say it.
Protect the motherfucker.
Say it.
Punk ass motherfucker. That's going to keep the seals off
the
beach.
Over
and over again.
You know, that's in La Jolla, right?
La Jolla.
Now, hold on a second. We're going to call our mystery guest. His name is DC. He lives here in San Diego. We're going to pull him into this conversation. We want to know what he thinks about the whole budget cut. Shit like that.
coming out of my pocket.
I know.
I don't care.
I don't pay taxes. Well, I do pay taxes.
Yeah, don't say that shit. You pay taxes.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Steve.
Butter.
Butter.
How are you?
What's happening, bro?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing okay.
We were having, now we know that you're located in San Diego, correct?
That is correct.
We were having this discussion about, I don't know if you are keep up on the topic of the seals in La Jolla.
Punk bitches in La Jolla that don't want the seals
on the
beach.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, I'm aware of that, yes.
And we're going to pay for it.
You're going, yeah, they want us to pay for it, yes, that is correct.
We're paying for it. Not the citizens of La Jolla.
Everybody else.
Private fund. We have to pay for it.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, I don't think it's fair. Although we do get out there momentarily when we can to make the visit. But I don't think we should pay for it totally. I think we should share it. We get out there every now and then. I don't spend a lot of time out in that area, so.
But do you think that you should pay for it?
You mean even sharing in the cost?
Yeah.
Involuntarily.
Say that again?
Involuntarily.
Oh, involuntarily?
Right.
Yeah, this is not anything that we got to vote on.
We just have to pay for it.
We just have to pay for it.
We don't think it's right.
No, well, what I said, because when you get a chance, I mean, how can you go out there at night? I don't mind the proper maintenance for seals. I mean, I don't know what the cost is going to be total, but I don't think it's a problem to share in the cost and not to pay for it without the people who live out there helping to share in the cost.
Well, okay. But the people that don't live out that way and don't go to the beach and don't mind the seals being on the beach,
we have to pay for
they
it.
They still have to pay for it. I mean, it's the taxpayers are paying for it. Which we don't think, you know, I don't go out there, but I don't mind the seals being on the beach. As we were saying, you know, the seals have been on the beach before, you know, since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
And why should we are infringing, okay, this is, I'm going to go on my soapbox right now.
I'm on your soapbox.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to go on my soapbox. We are infringing on animals here on Earth. We weren't here first. They were. So why should we say, okay, we're going to have someone stand out there and do like, what, a dog sound?
Dog
sounds to get these seals off the beach when they have every right to be there.
Oh, okay. Now I see where you're coming from. Well, that's concerning. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, they do have every right to be there. But what kind of damage are they doing, as far as you're aware?
I don't see any damage being done.
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do. But, you know, so do we. We're filling up these landfills. And
you dropping number two on the beach?
Shut up. I'm not saying on the beach. Damn it. In the toilet. I don't know where it ends up after it goes down the toilet, damn it. But, you're an ass. But I'm not saying, it's nature. It's let nature take its course. You know, man is just, it's not right. I'm at a loss for words.
Are we anti-man?
I've always been anti-man, but...
Where have you the one that did the song in Straight to Men?
I love that song.
Right.
It's
so how can you be anti-man if it's
you know what? It comes
like
down,
that.
And then they go away. Men only serve one purpose, but we'll talk about that on the show.
Woo! All right, man. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do, Mr. DC?
Oh, okay.
Because we're not going to go into the man hating part of our conversation.
I can't think about that one.
I know you can't.
Okay.
Well, I actually do several things. I was introduced this afternoon to the lady there by...
Oh, hey, lady.
This is my lady.
Thank you.
You don't mind me calling you a lady, right?
No, hey. Not until you get to know me really well. No. No, you can continue calling me lady until you really get to know. Oh, shut up.
Until I really get to know you.
If you really get to know me, then you may want to tell me some other things, but that's okay.
Hi, Miss Butter.
Okay, so tell us about DC. What does DC do? You know, speak about yourself.
Okay. Like I was saying this, when I talked to you this afternoon, I was introduced by Mr. Harold Whaley of Urban Network. And I've been working with him for God and knowing him for a while, at least maybe 10 plus years within the Urban Network magazine and working with Arthur Mitchell.
Did you perform? Or
what's that?
What did you do? Did you perform?
No, I'm actually helping to promote just everything we do within the Urban Network. I'm down here in San Diego, as you already pointed out, that I'm just trying to get the word out there. I'm trying to grow within that organization. I also work for the Veterans Administration. I'm a counselor there. I've been there for about 17 years.
Wow.
I'm originally from Los Angeles, migrated to Detroit, grew up, spent most of my years in Detroit, and joined the Marine Corps a while back, and they brought me back out to California. And after about close to 7 years doing that, that's when I started actually working for the Veterans Administration. Been out here in San Diego, around, like I said, close to 15, 16, 17 years.
You worked at the VA?
Yeah, I worked for the Veterans Administration, not the hospital part of it.
So that means you was with George Bush, you supporting the troops?
Say that one more time.
You was down with George Bush, you was supporting the troops?
I'm always supporting the troops. being down with George Bush, that's a whole nother subject.
So what's going on at the VA? What do you do at the VA?
I'm a veteran benefits counselor. Basically, veterans and their families. My position is where when they come to the VA, the benefits that the veterans have earned for, you know, their active duty service, I help guide them to receive and get everything that's coming to them after service. A lot of benefits happen during service, but it's usually just educational benefits. But pretty much everything happens for them afterwards, and I'm there to help them apply for it, develop everything that's necessary to get those and receive those benefits, from everything from medical service to financial compensations, you know, if they come back with disabilities. And
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I deal a little bit with – I have lots of questions. I deal with I know someone that during his term in the military got hurt several times and can barely walk now on his leg, but they're only giving him 40% disability. Who determines that?
First of all, I'm sorry to hear that your friend experience in the military wasn't a total pleasant one. Well, I'm serious. I mean, the benefits are there, but anybody gets hurt while they're on active duty, it's sad on any level. And so far as who determines it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, just like any organization, after you have come in to apply for what we refer to as disability compensation, and you provide us all the information that's necessary. You know, we always let you know what you need. We, you know, not only verbally, but we send out our letters to you based upon the information that you've given us and that's required. We have people within that organization we refer to as the rating specialists. You know, they're properly trained for several years to read through all evidence given to us in support of a request concerning certain disabilities. And based upon the laws that's been and regulations that's been set up for years, I don't know exactly how many years, but for years, ever since we've been around, they have set percentages that are based upon the evidence that's given and the severity of a particular disability. They, you know, they have been medically taken through extensive medical exams, whether it be seeing doctors and getting X-rays. And
so basically, it's like that movie Sicko portrayed. Our health system is governed by folks who really don't give a damn about regular folks.
No, that's not true. Now, you know, don't start picking on us.
I'm just saying. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, man, it seems like, you know, we say support the troops, and I'm not talking about you in general, the VA on the whole, but it seems like our troops, especially in these situations where they're maimed, hurt in battle, or however they come across injuries or whatnot, they're not all taken care of like they should be, you know, because we all hear how we should take care of the troops, and everybody's gung-ho and all these other things in times of war or whatnot, but nobody ever talks about troops who are hurt. I mean, we talk about, you know, we give medals and stars and all this other stuff, but nobody has continual care and upkeep. I mean, it was one of the things in the budget that just came out where they cut $226 million from the disabled and the quote unquote frail. And I'm going to assume that part of that is a cut on VA services.
You said, what did you just use?
You said frail? Frail. Yes, frail. That is the exact verbiage from the bill. That it's $226 million from the services for the frail and the disabled.
Oh, frail. Okay,
frail.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, the way you phrased it, I didn't know what you meant when you said that. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
My bad.
That's all.
He has issues with, you know, phrasing.
Yeah, see, I got
issues. See, now you guys, now when I talked to you earlier, you said it's okay to say what I want to say.
Uh-huh. Oh, say it.
And I started to say something.
Say it.
I started to say something, and the fact that you sounded frail when you made that statement, but you picked it up. I get it now. Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, Cutting the budget, I mean, cutting monies from the disabled veterans. Well, no, I take that back. Let's not even bring that up. First of all, you said something to the effect of not taking care of our veterans. One of the biggest things that we deal with every day is the fact that a lot of veterans, once they get out of the military, don't even come to the VA.
Oh.
And I blame that basically on two things. One, prior to getting out, most of the, well, 99%, I'm not going to say everybody gets it because I already know better. It's just the way it is. 99% of the veterans, they have to go through a discharge separations class.
Yeah.
Every last one is required to go through a class.
Right.
They, I already know that they all don't for whatever reason. And I don't know if anybody's going to have to say anything to me about it, but it's the truth. Lots of times when people are getting out, their commands don't always make it so. They, in the sense, and what I mean by that is, we find that a lot of those veterans, not, you know, like I said, the majority of them do get it, but for whatever reason, they don't get these separation class. They'll literally say that to me. They didn't know anything about. They didn't get set up with an appointment. For whatever reasons, they didn't get it. And that separation class is designed to inform you, bottom line, when you get out, if you have anything going on, the VA is there to help you take the next step. They're supposed to prepare you for that. They're doing a lot more to get them to do these classes, but it's just not happening. There are a few that are slipping through the cracks for whatever reason. Then you have those who, even though they take a separation class and they got a lot of things coming to them, they won't come see us because, quote, they think that we're still the military. And they think if they come in and start signing on dotted lines, filling out paperwork here, they're liable to go back in for another 4 years, thinking that they're supposed to get benefits. It happens all the time. They said, I've heard people tell me to my face, I was afraid to go to the VA. Why is that? Well, because, you know, I'm tired of dealing with the military, blah, 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 blah. But we're not the military. There's a lot of us who have been in the military. There's a lot of us who've never been in the military. Either or, we're not the military. We're here to serve you afterwards. So we're there to take care of you. Unfortunately, as the Bible said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
True.
Wow.
People, they don't want, they either didn't get the information or they think that that's it. And throughout all of, as long as we've been around, I'm sorry, people should already know better. People should already know better.
Right.
You know, but they just unfortunately, and then unfortunately the biggest reason is the fact that, you know, they're traumatized while on active duty, whether it be due to battle.
I want to touch on that, but on that note, we're going to take a station identification break.
Okay.
We'll be back in about 20 seconds. So just hang tight, because I do want to touch on that for 1 second. But we're going to
give you guys drummer.
For those of you that are just tuning in, we're speaking to DC, and we're talking about the VA Benefits Administration. He's a counselor there. And before we went on our station identification break, we were talking about the classes that the military, or when you're separated from the military, that you have to go through. My question is, do you think there's so much information that these you know, men are getting, or, you know, even these military people, can just say men, are getting, that it's too much at one time?
No. You mean so far as while they're on active duty?
Too much information coming to them within a short amount of time to tell them, okay, this is what you guys need to do when you get out of the military, you know, and kind of how to transition into civilian life and with their benefits. Do you think that they're just getting so much information and it's so hard to retain all of it?
And not when everything's always prepared for them in writing. I mean, you come and you deal with us, either prior to getting out, we make all of our information available in writing. And obviously, with the use of the internet, everything's always available. So it's not like they have to, and it's not a pass or fail test that they have to take after the information is given to them. And then, of course, there's plenty of stations for them to go to. But, you know, getting back to touching on what I was saying about traumatized veterans, whether it be due to battle, and the severity of the trauma they go through, whether it be, you know, just as you said before, coming back and after war, having to deal with something, coming back, you know, with not everything you had when you went there. What's that?
Yeah, talking about living in regular society, fitting in. It's not every day.
Yeah, severe loss, whether it be mental or physical.
Right.
Severe loss, you know, they come back and they're not always ready to go and stand in the line again in front of a person and start, again, answering questions, writing on the line.
Isn't that the military's job to tell you what to do?
Isn't that the new what?
The military just tells you what to do as opposed to you asking questions and being inquisitive. I know that's part of military training where you don't really ask questions, you follow orders.
That was exactly one of the points I was getting at. Not everybody, when they're getting out, it's that whole mental attitude. They don't want to go someplace else again and think that they're going to be having to follow orders again when it's not designed just for them to follow orders to do what we want to do to keep them in line and keep them in order. It's to give them what they've earned.
Well,
it's to give them what they earned. You can't just walk in there and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. But you can walk in there and say, give me.
Right.
Based upon,
give
me the information, the guidelines, give me the help. But not everybody is mentally ready to do that. You will be surprised how many people tell me.
No, actually, I would, because self-determination and freedom of thought is not really that prevalent in our society, unfortunately.
Did either of you serve in the military, if I may ask?
I'm actually a military, quote-unquote, brat. You know, my father is retired Navy, and my grandfather was a retired Marine.
Hoorah.
I'm a military ex-wife.
Okay.
Anyway.
And my ex-husband retired from the Navy.
Okay.
But
I'm gonna. I want to take us somewhere else because I like this, but there's something that happened that, you know, last week was the NAACP's 100th anniversary, whatnot, and Jesse Jackson came out in. Was saying to Obama needs to take care of the black community, whatever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You've never taken care of black community.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, because him and the NAACP, who you can't find an office for here in San Diego, is just P.O. boxes. They're talking about how, you know, Obama should cater to the black community. I'm like, well, last time I checked, he was president of the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't see he's trying to straighten out the economy. I'm thinking that would kind of that would help us out to an extent. I'm like, they think he's going to sign an executive order saying that we're going to finally get that 40 acres and a mule or what?
I'm waiting on that one.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that one too, but it's not going to happen. And I was going to ask you, not to pick you on, because I've always thought of Jesse Jackson as a political opportunist in every time I see him, he's always making news for himself for no reason whatsoever. There's no reason for him to say anything like that. Yeah, well, he shouldn't really talk at all.
Oh, at all.
At all.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if you know, but Dick here is a
A hater.
He everything is a conspiracy.
It's no conspiracy.
Uh-oh.
No.
You calling him paranoid?
No.
No, he's not paranoid.
Go ahead.
No, I am factual. I mean, Jesse Jackson was one who was not liked by Martin Luther King. They were kicking him out of the camp, but he was assassinated before he got kicked out the camp. And he was not on the same floor with Martin Luther King when he was assassinated. But the next day he comes on TV with blood on his shirt. And I'm like, whose blood is that? That's one of
because
them
he was
little
nowhere
known,
around.
Right. There's one of them little known facts nobody talks about. And he becomes a quote-unquote prominent leader in the black community because of his affiliation with Martin Luther King, who, of course, didn't like him, as it was stated by everybody that was associated with MLK, but him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
well,
go ahead.
He came out at the NAACP convention, New York City, and well, Obama spoke to him, talking about, you know, you got to do for yourself.
Right.
And this is actually part of what you're saying with the VA. The people have the services available to them, but they don't take advantage of it. And in the meanwhile, you'll have guys like him who will say, hey, you know, we need you to do for us what we refuse to do.
For ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I guess it's not really a question.
You're just, I know. I'm waiting for the question now.
But don't you see the similarities in that? You know, what you said, I mean, I draw that similarity, like you're saying, we have these services, but no one takes advantage of them to the full capability that they could.
But they're there.
Right.
And what Jesse Jackson is saying, Obama needs to have, you know, do a little bit more, but Obama's saying, you guys need to do for yourself. And I agree. Now you got me all tongue twisted. Obama can't do everything.
Yeah.
We're all going to have to chip in and do our part.
Yeah, he definitely, that's exactly what he said. He asked, he called upon everybody to help. And I thought that Jesse Jackson was, there's a picture I thought that where he was kind of holding on to his body or near his body at some point.
No,
I hadn't heard that particular theory or facts.
Well, I always look at it like this. When somebody dies, whoever comes up next and becomes prominent has something to do with it. But that's just me.
There he goes.
Okay. I hate to think that if there, I'm not saying that what you're not saying is true, but if there was any truth behind what you're saying, never mind. I'm not going to even ask that question.
Don't ask it.
I was wondering if you believe that, okay, perhaps he had some prior knowledge and made sure he wasn't on that floor when Martin Luther King got shot, and like you said, where'd the blood come from? If he might be having the same type of, towards Obama.
Well,
you know,
he's not
thinking good things about Obama.
Well, of course he's not thinking good things about Obama. Remember, this is the guy that was on TV when the camera was running. He didn't think it was running where he was talking about cutting Obama's balls off because he said Obama talked down to black people.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. I'm like, he may talk down to you because he know you're a sucker.
I really like what you said, though. That's one of the best descriptions I ever heard. He is a political opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed that about that man. Now, I'm in full agreement with you about that. Everything else, though, I'll be
I'm just saying, you know, normally what happens is if somebody gets killed, there's a quote-unquote hand-picked successor.
course.
And, I mean, he was prominent.
Right.
That's all I can say. I'm not going to say that he was part of the assassination attempt. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when MLK went away, Jesse Jackson was there. Now, was it because of his political opportunism?
Now, let me ask you, Mr. Hugger.
Yes.
Do you think that since that happened, that Jesse Jackson has gotten much further in his political career because of that?
Yes.
To this day. I mean, you don't hear about him too often unless...
I was getting ready to say you don't hear that.
Yeah, unless something happens where he interjects himself. Now, the whole comment where he thought the cameras were not rolling and he said that about Obama, yeah, we heard about that, and that I hadn't heard him in the news for a while until that came up. He has not done anything that has made me remember him as anything special. So I don't see him as a political figure that's, you know, prominent or really important.
Right. None of us do.
Right.
Okay.
So
not, yeah.
I wouldn't say that, well, yes, he is a political opportunist, but, you know, he, even if he was, you know, is, a, I can't say he is a political opportunist, he's not doing a very good job of it.
Well,
no.
Keeping his name, he's been around for, what, 30-some years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the Reverend Jesse Jackson with no
so
church.
What? Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm like.
So what, Reverend Jesse Jackson, but he's not in political office.
Right.
You know,
he's
okay, what does he stand for?
He has no church, but
right.
He's a reverend. I'm, you know, maybe that's
I don't see him
crossing
all over the news and speaking at things and being invited to be on Smooth Drama.
Right. Yeah. He has I've always thought he's had a floating pulpit.
Yeah.
You know what? And he you never hear from Jesse Jackson unless he's first judging somebody else about what they're doing first. Then he goes into this long speech about what he believes about them and what he has to say about it, and he starts getting into his this rhyming thing he gets into, and he tries to throw in some famous quote that people won't forget. And yeah, I haven't seen him really do too much.
I've been trying to forget him for a long time.
So now, you know what? Now, touching on him and everything, now that Obama has done what he's done, thanks be to God, do you think that Jesse Jackson has finally grown the gonads to throw his hat in the political race when the time comes?
No.
But he did that already.
He did it already.
No. Come on. When he did that, he wasn't serious. He was never serious.
I don't think he was
serious about him.
That brother was not serious.
But, come on.
If he'd have showed any gumption towards throwing his hat in that race, if he'd have shown anything about half the endeavor and energy that Obama put in, people would have voted for him. They would have made it a damn good race just to see how far they can get that man.
He was running against himself.
Right.
However you want to put it, all I'm saying is don't be surprised if he pops in or tries to pop in, or they start their little allegations.
Well, but you know what happened with his son? His son had the whole – he was part of that buying the Senate seat scandal. Obama's old seat, yes.
Oh.
Jesse Jackson Jr. was part of
that
scandal. So I don't –
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, he was part of that scandal.
So what scandal was that you said?
Well,
what is it?
Obama's old seat. They were
the seat thing. Okay,
they were trying to sell the seat
Sell his seat, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know his, no, I didn't know that. I didn't
and
know
Doris that. Got it, right?
Right. His son was
mind?
Part of that, too. I guess he was trying, I don't know all the details on it, but I know he was part of that trying to get some cash out of it or get involved in it some kind of way.
No.
So that's why he had to step off the scene, too. Because remember, he was very prominent for a minute, and then he fell off the scene because he was part of that group. All them guys had to disappear, trying to make money.
Yeah, that's something matter. Did you notice that something matter went away real quick?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that it was one of those situations where you have, I guess, the iconic name of Jesse Jackson or whatever. But I'm tired of hating on Jesse Jackson, so because.
Okay.
It's been decades long.
Well, how did we get on this political view?
Well,
I want to know, what are you promoting? Do you have a band or an artist that you're promoting?
Well, that's one of the things I do is definitely keep my eyes open and ears open for any upcoming artist who want that exposure.
Now, is it just artists and groups, or do you do other promotions?
Actually, I have worked with some people who are writers. I have some partners who are very, very talented in what they do, who want to get into the movie industry through writing screenplays. I have a real, real good writer who was actually like my brother when I was in the Marine Corps. Been knowing him for, 20-something years. He actually
date
wrote.
Date yourself, you know that, right?
Yeah. I'm old enough to date myself and not worry about it.
I'm with you there, man. It don't even matter.
Yeah, none but the age. But while he was in on active duty, he actually was in Marine Corps and he wrote for the newspaper. He's public affairs, and this guy's background. He interviewed presidents. You know, just the guy was a fantastic writer. Named by the name of Stephen Gould, and he's presently living in Washington, D.C. He, after some years, I didn't know that he was an aspiring screenplay writer. And he won all kinds of awards while he was on active duty. He used to write for the Scout out of Camp Pendleton. And he's very controversial, the most controversial writer.
Dick gives it a thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely. You remember the Scout? Did you read it?
No, but he's giving a thumbs up because you're calling him controversial.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very, very.
Provoking.
Oh, see, you got to have him talk to Dick. Now, why ask that? Only because how would people get in contact with you if they, say, wanted to get some help with their promotion, maybe an artist or a group or a dance group?
Okay, well, you just basically go to urbannetwork.com site, and you can send an email directly through to that site at the Urban Network site, and you can send it through to D.C., or you can get in contact with Carol Whaley or when you go to the website, it does have information of how to contact the Urban Network.
Okay.
With me, I have my business cards that I give out when I'm dealing with people, generally when I can see that they have a product that they're trying to get out there and get moving forward themselves, promote themselves, they're serious. I don't always give out, my email address right away. I'm presently working on building my own website, but I'm also more so right now trying to drive more people to get in contact and deal with both, whether it be through Arthur Mitchell or Harold Whaley. Harold Whaley, I'm not sure, Butter, I'm sure you probably already know this. He started his magazine through the iPhone called H-Dub iZine. And if you Google Harold Whaley or put in that iZine.com, you'll be able to see and make some connections through there. And there's links all the way through to the Urban Network. so far as, like I said, what I do, I just keep my eyes and ears open. Lots of times I'll get phone calls from people who have gotten their number, my number, from someone else that I've been dealing with in the past, and they like to deliver the work that I've done for them. And we've developed some different relationships from that point. I haven't hit that home run with all this yet.
What the heck is that? Hold on 1 second. Dick's computer is going crazy over here. What's he getting, man?
I didn't do nothing. Anyway.
Sorry about that. Wow.
That's all right. That was the way somebody, whoever, however, said to shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, cause, you know, we come across people that, you know, sometimes here in San Diego that, you know, are always looking for ways to promote themselves and do better things.
If you're a promoter, we definitely, you know, would try to get folks to come your way, so that especially here in San Diego, you can work with the local talent and hopefully help build up San Diego's talent base and event status, because we are sorely lacking here.
Oh, my God. You say lacking, what, not lacking in talent?
No, not lacking in talent. We're lacking
in events.
Events and things
that are
going on here in San Diego. We have to go to L.A. to get down.
Well, yeah, we have street scene, but good, what is it, $50 to get in now?
Yeah.
Come on. And to fight people, those crowds, I forget it. But, you know, to have more events, especially geared towards the younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing but
to keep them off the streets
and
show them, you know, you don't need to be in a gang or dealing drugs or any of that shit.
You know, the entertainment opportunities, venues, and the types of different entertainment is a sore subject with me, because I've been finding that out the hard way for a while. God, there's so many different ways to approach that. There is an incredible amount of talent I've been running into, and there's a lot of people that are getting their grind on to get themselves out there, because it only takes just that one hit. I mean, look at I'm not going to start naming off different songs that we all know that you're like,
that's
wow.
What we're about. You know, we want to try and help promote and get things out there, not just in San Diego. And of course, we're starting with San Diego only because Smooth Drama Studios is located in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're trying to bring more talent to the forefront and help promote and get them interviewed and talk about projects and, you know, try and help people that don't have all those connections that other people do that are doing their thing. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
we know people that are on the grind also but don't have all those connections.
Right.
And, you know, we're slowly starting to get those connections through slow drama. Smooth drama. And, yes, I do show appreciation to Harold for bringing us guests, and especially on short notice, we are running out of time. But God, I wish we could talk to you some more.
But as always, you're welcome to call us in, shoot us email. You want to come back, anything you want to talk about. You got an artist or event that you got happening that you would like to talk about on the air, whatnot. Open invitation, bro.
I would really, really like to do that. Matter of fact, young man there, I definitely want to put you in contact with my controversial friend out of D.C.
All right.
That's okay with you as well.
Always.
We have your number.
Yes.
I definitely will give you, and since you're located in San Diego, you know, we can always meet face-to-face and kind of do a show in person. So, we'll schedule that. And, you know, we want to thank you for being on the show. And
thank you. Are you kidding me? Thank you very much.
Hey, hit me up.
I will. I promise to do that.
I answer all my emails.
Dick@smoothdrama.com.
Dick@smoothdrama.com. And Lady Butter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
sir.
You.
I'm
have a good evening.
To you. Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
With that, everyone, good night. Keep tight.
See you on Thursday.
Tomorrow, Comic Con.
Yeah, okay. Comic Con.
Comic Con.
Hit the button.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
For sure. Now, did you get my... Did I give you my
with the most
email address?
He's rocking coast to coast smooth.
Hold on 1 second.
She is the lady with her hands. Where in the hell did you get your
phone
from?
Right now.
Together you got smooth drummer. Smooth.